You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Well, we're going to kick off a new study. We got a lot of ground to cover, and we're never even going to get to the starting gate. So, you know, we're like down in the paddock. But there's a lot that goes on down in the paddock, so let's pray and we'll get started. Father God, we do thank you for this Sunday morning and the joy that's in our hearts to see each other, to fellowship, worship you, to praise you. We thank you, Father, for your spirit, teacher, of all things that pertain to truth that belong to your Son Christ, that we might see him, we might grow up in him, that we might be built in a faith that's holy and blameless, that's acceptable to you. That we, Father, might grow in the Word so that we might be workmen who rightly divide. We pray, Father, that your blessing be on that this morning in our life. So as we begin a new study, we pray that we give attendance to it, and we be diligent in our effort toward it, and that, Father, you might be honored by it, and your Son glorified. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, we're going to start the study of the mysteries of the prison epistles. But really, before we get there, I think we need to kind of clear up the word mystery. I want to start there because sometimes in our natural thinking, instead of our spiritual thinking, you know, you do have both. You do have both. The old man sometimes gets in there and it kind of stirs things up. But we tend to think of a mystery as something that, well, two different things, and they're both misleading. One is it's something that is shrouded and we can discover it. We can find it out with our natural mind. Yeah, and God laughs at that. But see, that's what happens when we read Sherlock Holmes or Agatha Christie or some other mystery. Yeah, mystery novels, you know, and they're really tantalizing and tempting because they drag us into that realm of who done it, what happened, how did it happen, where did it happen. It was, Colonel Mustard in the library with the rope. And we go back to those early days when we played that game called Clue. And I think that's wrong because that misleads us. From a spiritual point of view, the thing about mysteries, and they're not a mystery. The word's mysterion. It means a secret, a sacred secret. And it's something that man can't know. It's got to be by revelation. They're all by revelation. Things that are hidden by God aren't going to be exposed by God except by revelation. Even the unbeliever has to come to the revelation of his sinfulness. Even the unbeliever has to come to the revelation of the penalty of sin. And when he begins to come to that point, well, like we read this morning in our Sunday school lesson, he looks to the future and he's in terror. Because even he knows when he comes to that point that there is a God, and if there is a God, there's going to be a judgment. And so when he looks to the future, he looks to terror. When he looks to the past, he looks at his sin and he feels nothing but remorse. And when he looks within, he sees nothing but darkness. That's all by the revelation of God. He doesn't know that except by the revelation of God. The natural mind will confuse us in that it will lead us astray, thinking that we can understand the things of God just because we know it. Hey, the devils know God, but they don't believe him. Or else they'd be converted too. It takes that act of faith in the life of a child or a believer in order to step over from the natural into the supernatural. These things are from a worldly point of view, hidden from us if we think that in our own ability we can just find it out. That's the first thing. I think that's where, when we get to a mystery, we look at it from that point of view, like a novel, Agatha Christie or Sherlock Holmes novel, and we think that, okay, all we have to do is apply the intellect and the reason. Not to say that intellect and reason are not important. They're terribly important. Extremely important. Faith comes from hearing, not from blind acceptance. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And it's believing in things that will be. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But it's not blind. It's substance and things. It's faith. And faith comes from this Word. So the intellect and the reason is always involved. God gave it to us in order to use it. Too often we use it against Him and not for Him. The second thing that I think mysteries do to us is that they send us off on a goose chase, you know? And I think of things like the seven wonders of the world. Y'all familiar with the seven wonders of the world? And the only one that's still standing is the pyramids of the pyramids in Egypt, like the pyramid of Giza, you know, the great pyramids there. And people went, how did that happen? Where did that come from? Who did that? And boy, the mind will run away from you. Now, a natural man can still sit there and say, you know, God must have done it. I mean, because once you start studying those pyramids, and we had that DVD, and I don't know if any of you saw that DVD, but boy, it was fascinating. It was those three great pyramids right there were set up so that they correlate with the three stars in the belt of Orion. And the height of the greatest pyramid is the average height of all the lands and the valleys of the earth. And we could never figure something like that out until we had satellites in the earth. How did they build it so that it was just the exact height? Until they could map the whole world, they wouldn't know. And there's so many other amazing marvels about the pyramid that, you know, a guy wouldn't even, you know, we'd all disagree with who did it. I mean, you know, that in the DVD, the guy thinks, I think it was Enoch. It was Enoch. He said Enoch did it. Some people think it was the Nephilim. I don't think they'd be doing anything to God. But, I mean, sure, Enoch probably would. But who knows? But we could all agree that God did it, unless you want to say aliens did it. And that's, you know, aliens built those airstrips in Chile. But that's where mysteries will take us away instead of putting our focus. Even in nature, we can look at nature and we begin to think about the spider web or the spider galaxy. And we begin to see things and we begin to wonder. And it leads us to evolution or it leads us to God. Right? But more often than not, and you look at the way of the world today, which way did the world go? Not towards God, but towards evolution. And that's the way of the natural man. The natural man cannot understand. In fact, go over to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at that. Natural man can't understand the things of God. Worldly wisdom in his hands is dangerous. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 20, when speaking about the preaching of the cross and how it's foolishness. Well, let's back up to 18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. Now, every one of us that's been born again has been right there. There was that moment where the preaching of the cross, foolishness. In my life, I remember telling my dad, and this came years after my salvation, but worldly wisdom will lead you here. I said, all roads lead to God. He said, no. All roads may lead to Christ, but Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. I'll never forget that. Nice challenge from a father to a son. The world will mislead you. And this this moment in time where we thought that the cross was foolishness, but then all of a sudden by revelation we saw that there's no other way it could have been done. Only by God revealing that to us in Scripture. How could one man die? That's an amazing mystery, isn't it? How could one man die for all the sins of everyone that's ever been, is, or ever will be? And then every one of those people has been forgiven of that sin. All they have to do is accept the gift of eternal life. How could that be? Only by the revelation of God do we know that. I'm so glad we've got this book. But you know, God didn't just say, here's a book, I'm going to tell you about me. God said, I've got all of creation, natural revelation He's given us. And He talks about it. But I want to stay right here in 1 Corinthians. He says in verse 19, it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You bet. You bet. Not only is it dangerous, the wisdom of this world, but it is deceptive. It is deceptive. Go over to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, verse 6. Now we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that comes to nothing or to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom of this world led those who crucified the Lord of glory to crucify Him. It is dangerous. It is deceptive. But all in the plan of God. So, mysterion, mystery. It's not a mystery. And don't think it's a mystery. It's a sacred secret. It is something that God has hidden and God reveals. And that's why I come to Hebrews. I wanted to look at this first four verses, and you might think, how in the world? How in the world did you correlate this with this study? Well, because mysteries are secrets, and secrets need to be revealed in order for us to know them and to understand them, I wanted us to start with looking at God is the great revealer. It says in verse 1, as God who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and hath in these last days, Paul writes, spoken unto us by His Son. Now stop right there and think about the time period. In the beginning, God spoke directly. For 2,000 years, God spoke directly with man. Beginning with Abraham, He began to speak to us by prophet. I mean, with Moses, He began to speak to us by prophets. Sorry, I said Abraham, but it's Moses. And from Moses to John, God spoke to us by prophets. And then He spoke to us by His Son. Did it stop there? No. Look over in chapter 2. There's those that heard His Son. There's those then... Well, let's read it. Verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Those that heard His Son. Lest at any times we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? So not only did God begin to speak to us by them who heard Him, but then by them who heard them, like Paul. And Paul wrote letters. And then God began to speak to us directly through the prison epistles. and God at again at another time in the future will begin to deal with mankind in a different way when this age or this dispensation comes to a close and God no longer is dealing with us through a completed word, but with action as dynamic as you can imagine it to be here on this earth. First through His emissary, and then through His Son. And that'll last for 1,000 years. And then God will complete that which He began years ago through eternity. And I think that He will speak to us in eternity too, face to face. Lest you think that when we talk about eternity, we're talking about the conclusion of something. Because eternity doesn't conclude, does it? It goes on and on and on, face to face. Okay. A couple other things I want you to see in this Hebrew passage. Come back to chapter 1. Verse 2. Marvelous things about our Savior. It says that in the last days He spoke to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed. And of course, you need to remember the address on this envelope and why it says He spoke to us by His Son. And we have a different revelation today, which God has given to us by our minister, Paul, called the Fellowship of the Mystery. But here He says, in these last days, in verse 2, God spoke to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Now just think about that. God appointed Him heir of all things. Oh, by the way, Him also He hath, by whom also He hath made the world. So He who is the heir of all things is the one who created all things. We begin to learn some marvelous things about who? The Son of God in this passage. And that's just a couple of things. The one who is the heir of all things is the one who created all things. Now we know that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God, and He was the one who created all things. Things that are were created by Him. We know that that all things were created in Colossians for Him. Things all consist because of Him. But that's this nutshell that we see in verse 3. Look in verse 3. We also see He's the brightness of His glory. He is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the expressed image of the person of God. And all of a sudden it starts becoming overwhelming what we're learning about Him. He upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. A couple of more things we learned about right there. How He holds everything together by His power. When He ascended, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He was made so much better than the angels in verse 4, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, I say that because I think right then and there, the Hebrews learned a whole lot of things that they did not know about Messiah. About Messiah. They learned a whole lot of things that they may have had little glimpses or thoughts of, but Paul reaches back into the history of the Old Testament and begins to reveal these things. Just like in Romans, he began to reveal things to them out of the Old Testament, out of the Scriptures, out of the prophets, that they had no idea about. All those things that they had ideas about began with who? Abraham. And Paul in Romans, and we just finished this study in Romans, and you should know what I'm talking about. God begins to say, look, there was a lot of things that went on before Romans. Adam. And by one man, sin entered into this world. And by that one man, death. Because sin leads to death. Paul began to talk about that. He reached back and he began to teach them things that although they did have it right there in their hands in the book, they didn't know what it meant. Now, turn with me over to Deuteronomy. in chapter 29. It's amazing truths about Jesus. Amazing truths that the mind has very little ability in order to put its arms around. And this search for Him who is, was, and always will be is something that God has given us. You don't see dogs. You don't see birds. You don't see spiders worshiping God. You see man worshiping God because God put Olam in the heart of man. Man seeks God. Man searches for God. God made everything beautiful in its time. He even put, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, He even put the world in His heart so that He might search after the things of God but can't find them. Well, that word world is Olam. It's the name of God. It's God. It's eternity. El Olam is the eternal God. Eternity in our heart speaks to us that there's got to be something more than just, you know, waking up after winter in a cave, you know, and stretching and kind of clawing the ground a little bit and walking out on all fours and kind of looking around for the next trout in a stream. That's a bear, in case you didn't get that picture. That's what a bear does. He has no concept of God. I mean, as far as I can tell, can you tell? I mean, I've never seen them pray. They don't baptize each other. You know, they don't have communion. They don't do any of those. They have no book to read. They don't burn incense. They have no trappings of worship. But God's given it to us. And we wonder. We wonder, where did it all come from? What's it all about? And where does it end up? We do that because God, bless Him, gave that to us. You know, natural revelation, I was going to talk about a minute ago, so hang there in Deuteronomy 29. Natural revelation, God's given to us so that all men might know Him. And natural revelation is the creation. It's everything that He's created, and the Creator has stamped all of creation with Himself, His image, so that the heavens, even the heavens, declare the glory of God. You talk about a lost art. I was talking to some lady the other day. We had dinner over at their house. And there was the Big Dipper as we were sitting out on the back patio. I said, isn't that amazing? You know, we've lost the thought of the Big Dipper being the sheepfold and that those are the sheep going into the sheepfold. We've lost the picture of the stars, and every one of them declare the glory of God. Every one of them. And it's not just from the Hebrews. It's, you go into all the world religions and the stars have similar names. How did that happen? Well, we know that, you know, they were all there at the Tower of Babel and they all split up and they took their knowledge and wisdom, which God had given to them about that, to their own places. And the earth divided and they came up with that. The zodiac has 12 constellations. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the horoscope, everybody, you know, you're born a certain day and it tells you what sign you're born under. I was born November 17th. I'll be 60 this year. I'm a Scorpio. That's one of those 12 constellations. Do you know the first constellation in the order of the constellations is Virgo? You know, the last one is Leo, the sign of the Virgin. Goes all the way around, and when it's fully completed, it comes to the King, Leo. Well, there's an art there that we've lost, and we don't share it. Dale Tackett talks about that on the Truth Project. He says, can you hear him? The heavens declare the glory of God. It's shouting it out. Everywhere we look, and not just there, it's just, you know, my dog got hit by a skunk 3 weeks ago. Oh, golly, that's just the worst thing in the world. Come home, open up the garage, and dog comes out wagging the tail, and you get bent down the pad, and you go, whoa, what was that? Yeah. How did that skunk develop that protective mechanism? That's amazing, isn't it? Where the evolutionist takes that. But gosh, when you know there's a God and you begin to see that He created all those animals. He gave that skunk that wonderful aroma. She's starting to smell better now. My goodness. But natural revelation is there, and God's given it to us. And there are those that profess that they understand it and know it, but they deny God. They deny Him because they would rather worship the creature than the Creator. But God gave us something more than natural revelation. He gave us special revelation. That's His book. He's told us about Himself, and His plans and His purposes are fully revealed in this book. Now, if you're there in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are what?" What's that word? Revealed. That's revelation. "Those things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." The secret things need to be revealed. Now, when we begin here, how do I want to jump to this? When we begin here, we've got to realize God's talking to Israel. When He says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us." That "us" is Israel. And don't forget that. I mean, as you're studying Scripture, don't lose sight of that. I don't want you to all of a sudden think that when God begins to do things in a mystery or a sacred secret, that it belongs to us. A lot of these don't belong to us. A lot of them share things with us that are about our Creator. But when dealing with Israel, and this is important, a mystery is usually brought in upon failure. The first time we see the word mysterion in the Old Testament is in Daniel. Daniel, let's turn there. And rightfully so, I guess, Daniel is about the most prophetic writer that we have in the Old Testament. In fact, Daniel exposes to us the revelation of the times of the Gentiles that our Lord spoke about over in Luke chapter 21. That all these things are going to happen, he says. I'm in Luke now, so just don't go there. Just listen to me. All these things are going to happen to Jerusalem and to God's people. And oh, hope it doesn't happen on a Sabbath, and hope you're not pregnant, because the whole kit and caboodle is going to be thrown. The tribulation. And all of these things are going to happen that were spoken by Daniel until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Well, Daniel's the one that tells us when the times of the Gentiles begins. And it happens because he reveals, or has revealed to him, this dream that the king Nebuchadnezzar had. The first time we see this word, mysterion, in Daniel chapter 2 is in verse 18. Daniel has heard that the king is so mad that everybody is going to die that's a part of his entourage of astrologers. Oh, that's something I was going to tell you. You know, you got to be careful when you start talking about this stars and the constellations. You know, the devil always has his counterfeit. You know, that horoscope stuff, and that's counterfeit. That's not truth. There's no truth to it. Don't believe it. Okay. There's a difference between astronomy and astrology. God gave us astronomy. Okay. All of these soothsayers and these magicians of Nebuchadnezzar can't tell him the dream. First, he won't He won't even tell them the dream. much less are they going to be able to tell him. Are they going to be able to tell him the interpretation of the dream? And Daniel finds out that the king's so mad that he's going to kill everybody if they don't tell him. Verse 17. Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. You guys remember them. They're the three guys end up in the fiery furnace with Jesus. Verse 18. He made it known unto them that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. See that word again? Revealed unto him. A secret was revealed unto him. And so Daniel then understands it. Not only does he understand the interpretation, but he knows the dream. And he goes and he tells the king the dream about this tall image, and you know, and has all this gold head and these silver shoulders and breast area. And that's the beginning of the time of the Gentiles. What happened prior to this? The failure of Israel. Judah turned his back as a nation and on God, their king. Israel, the 10 northern tribes, had already done it. But now Judah, the 2 southern tribes, and they were going into Lo-Ami until the fullness of this time that God reveals to Daniel. Often, not always, but often, God introduces a mystery upon failure of Israel. Go to Matthew. The first time we see the word mysterion is in Matthew 13. And I've got a handout I want to give you when we're over, and you can take it home with you. It'll show that all 27 of these references to the mystery that we find in the New Testament. And I know you're wondering, well, what about our lesson? Well, like I said, we're still down there in the paddock. You know, we're just kind of walking around with the other horses, and we'll be coming out to the gate, and we'll do a little walk around the track, and then we'll get into the gate and get ready to race, I hope, next week. God has some special mysteries for us. But verse 11, chapter 13, verse 11, there's two things I want to kind of nail down here. Jesus was giving them the parable of the sower or the seeds or the soil, whichever way you want to put it. And we got alone with the disciples. They asked him why he spoke to them in parables. That's the last part of verse 10. And then he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysterions, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. Now that's number one, these are things that are hidden. And number two, they're things that have to be revealed. And he points that out here, but I want you to look at two other things. One is that it looks like mysteries are always descriptive. There's a identifier that goes along with it. And this mystery is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. When we get to our mysteries that we're going to look at, that are in Paul's post-Acts epistles, the very first one is the mystery of his will. Now, the one that is directly to us, we find in Ephesians 3:9, and it complements the very first one, because there's six of them in Ephesians, and now I'm starting to step over into that, and I don't really want to, but I'm just going to draw this one correlation. The first three are complemented by the second three. And the first one in Ephesians chapter 1 is the mystery of His will. The fourth one, which complements the first, is we find in Ephesians 3:9, make all see what is a fellowship of the mystery. The economia, the dispensation, the administration of not just a mystery, but the mystery. And we're going to get deeper into that as we go. We're not going to hit on that today. But the thing to remember is that mysteries are descriptive. They have an identifier, like the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness. Now, as in all of Scripture, everything points us to Christ. Everything points us to Him. Especially when it comes to natural revelation or special revelation, or call it supernatural revelation, comes from the Scriptures. It always points us to Him and what we need to know about Him. I mean, all the treasures, it says in Colossians, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in who? Him. Him. The second thing that I wanted you to see, you'll find over in verse 35 of Matthew 13, dealing with after the interpretation. Verse 35, let's back up to 34. Now all these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke He not unto them. Now to the disciples, because He said, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He reveals the interpretation. But why did He not let the multitude in on the game plan? Well, He says in verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, great word there, we won't go into that, but that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. This is critical. There are certain mysteries, certain secrets that are from the foundation of the world. There are certain secrets and certain mysteries that are before the foundation of the world. That's an amazing passage. And it shouldn't just slide by us, because we ought to recognize how important that timeline is. Y'all, I know you know this, but it always helps to go back and look at it again. We know that our calling was in Him before that foundation. That foundation, we know, is the katabole. It's the overthrow. It's that gap between Genesis 1, where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We don't know when that was. We don't know how long that was. All we know is that as we look through Scripture, we see that there was, in that creation, perfection. He never, it says in Isaiah, created anything, tahu, vabohu, or without form and void. He created everything, it says, perfect. All of His creation. But something marred that creation. And we see it was Lucifer. And he fell. And when he fell, the rest of creation fell. And Paul exposes that. In Romans, we learn that all of creation groans until what? Until the time of redemption. And there'll be a time of redemption of all of creation. But the things that belong to us and our calling have that unique period of time before the foundation. And it's amazing that the phrase before the foundation occurs only in reference to us, the body of Christ, and Christ Himself. Here we see the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, the mysteries of the kingdom, and these mysteries have been spoken in a parable so that the Scripture from Isaiah might be fulfilled. That these things that were spoken, that were kept hidden, are hidden from them from the foundation of the world. There are things that are not hidden in God. but hidden in Scripture and kept silent, kept hushed up. One of the things we read about earlier, the crucifixion of Christ. They never would have crucified Him if they'd known that by crucifying Him, they brought defeat unto themselves. Never would have done it. But God kept that hushed up. Although, there's plenty of passages in Scripture that expose what God's plan was. All those messianic psalms, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The parting of His vesture, the non-breaking of any of His bones. All of those things spoke of Christ. And the prophets, they couldn't quite grasp it. They didn't understand the suffering and the glory that should follow. And they, even the angels, Peter writes, wanted to know what that was all about. But we know. We know now. Those secret things have been revealed. We have the completed special revelation. We begin to see it. God has not left us without knowing what He's up to. But notice here in Matthew, you remember I said a minute ago, a mystery is usually brought in when? When Israel fails. Well, if you go back and you read 11 and 12, Israel begins to fall. Go back to chapter 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities in which most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So we see the rejection of the king beginning. And over in chapter 12, verse 42, he shows them a sign of the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the farthest parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He brings out the Gentiles and rubs it in their face. Not just Jonah. If you'll read 11 and 12, you'll see Jonah was preceded this. But it's the failure of Israel that ushers in this mystery of the kingdom. And if you look at the eight parables that he talks about in chapter 13, you see they all have to do with the kingdom. The mystery that pertains to us, that has our body of truth, that is our truth for today, the mystery that is our private mail, follows upon a failure, right? A failure of Israel. They reject the kingdom. They reject the king. Go over to Acts 28. And for the last time, Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verse 26. He says, "Go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has become obtuse, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed." That's fascinating. That what you see there is the direct opposite of what we have in Corinthians. They have no intellect, they have no understanding, and they have no vision. I mean, that's what he's saying here. He says the heart, the ears, and the eyes. Now, let me show you. Go a couple of pages over to the right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We're talking about this wisdom and these princes, and they wouldn't have killed him. Verse 9, he says, as it's written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us. During the time when God was still offering the kingdom, the eye can see, the ear can hear, the heart, the mind, the conscience, the intellect can receive. But when he gets to Acts 28, it's like he just brings a conclusion to that. He says the heart ain't working, which was the last thing to work. The ears aren't working, which was supposed to lead to the heart. And the eye ain't working, which is supposed to lead to the ears. And he puts a period at the end of that. Be it known, therefore, in verse 28, Acts 28, verse 28, be it known, therefore, unto you, that's Israel, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Didn't happen before this time. Now, from this time on, God begins to deal in a mystery, a sacred secret, this fellowship, this administration we read about in Ephesians, and there's 12 of them, and I've got a handout here of all 27, but there's 12 of them that are in Paul's post-Acts epistles, and that's where we'll start next week. We'll start looking at these 12, beginning with the mystery of his will. But this is your mail. This is what God has written to you, not just for you. All this other stuff is for us. But this is what God has written to you. Show up for the gang. Holler for your team. Cheer on the things that you know are a part of your blessing in the heavenlies above. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the revelation that you've given in your word. The revelation that speaks of the mysteries, and particularly the ones, Lord, now that we're about to step out into as we begin this study, and how purposefully they apply to us. May we study them as we get the handout, and we might put our attention to them during the week, that we might, when we come back next week, be attentive, not to the little things that have to be said in order to get us to where we're going, but even the meatier things of the matter, which pertain to those that are full age. We thank you for that in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.